Hey church, it's good to be with you. Let's turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 9. The title of this message is Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. I wanted to look at this because I think for our lives as believers, there are many times where we find ourselves in this place of waiting. I mean, I think just life in general, we find ourselves waiting around a lot, right? There's certain big decisions in life. Some of you are waiting to find a relationship, maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe some of you are waiting for, you know, I want a husband or a wife. I want a new job. I want some reconciliation in my family. We oftentimes find ourselves waiting for things to change in life. And the thing that we have as believers is we have the ability to wait upon the Lord. And I want to look at what that means and why that's important. I think this is one of the most important principles in the Christian life, right? As you are faced with certain decisions throughout your life, you're going to have this choice. Are you going to try to figure it out by yourself? Or are you going to wait upon the Lord, allow Him to give you guidance and direction and make decisions that way? And I've just found it's easier, it's smoother when we're waiting upon the Lord. I'm not saying it's always easy, but it is the best way, the simple way. And that's a bit, really the way that God gives us in the scripture to how we can live our best life with Christ, right? Is to wait upon Him, to approach life from a place of trust in the Lord. We're not making decisions just based out of fear, but we're putting our trust in the Lord. And so I want to look at Psalm 37 here this morning. These verses are some of the most encouraging to me personally throughout my walk, some of these verses in this section. And so let's read Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9. It says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word to us, God, this morning. Thank you that it's alive, Lord, it's active in our lives, and that you want to shape us through this, God, through receiving your word. You want to realign our hearts, God, towards you. And so I just pray, God, in whatever situation we're in, whatever our circumstances might look like today, I pray that you would help us to wait on you, that we wouldn't go ahead of you, we wouldn't lag behind, but that we would just be people who trust in you, that childlike faith, God, that we would have to be able to trust you, to know that our times are in your hands, that you have a plan, that you're working out your plan in our lives. And so I just pray you'd have your way in our lives in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The psalmist here begins right in verse 1. He speaks about evildoers. He says, "Don't fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." And so the problem here, it's kind of continued from the previous psalm, the issue that he's addressing, right? And we see this theme throughout Proverbs and the book of Psalms. But it's this idea of the righteous are suffering and the wicked are prospering. Okay, and we see this echoed in Psalm 73, where the psalmist says this. He says, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Why? For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And that's the basic idea here in this psalm as well. Why do the wicked prosper while the godly suffer? Right? And so we see in verses 1 and 2 that the Lord wants to adjust our perspective, right? The way that we approach life, the questions that we have regarding evil in the world. We need to allow the Lord to adjust our perspective. Okay, that's why there's a command here. First of all, hey, this is what not to do. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Why would somebody envy someone who's a worker of iniquity? Again, because it looks like they're prospering. It looks like they have an easy life, and they don't even have God in their lives. And the temptation for us as believers, as we compare ourselves to other people out there, it could be people who are unbelievers, but it could also be people who are believers. We tend to look at other people and what they have, and we say, man, like, I don't have that. And I feel like I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to love God, but God's not coming through for me. Do you ever feel like God's not coming through for you in the way that you want to see him come through for you? The psalmist understands this. We see people wrestling with this question throughout the scriptures. And even in our own lives, we wrestle and try to make sense of what God is doing in our lives. And what the psalm is encouraging us to do is to wait upon the Lord, to allow the Lord to adjust our perspective. Because it says, it reminds us in verse 2, don't forget this, don't lose sight of the big picture, right? The people who are prospering now, the people who don't know Christ, says they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. It might look like everything's going well for them now, but in the end, that won't be the case. And see, this also is echoed in Psalm 73, right? Where he says, man, when I went into the house of the Lord, like, I got that perspective. I understood their end, that this is temporary. And we've got to be sure that we're putting our treasure in heaven. As Jesus told us, it's very easy to put our treasure in this world. But I think the scripture would challenge us. Hey, remember the big picture. The people who are prospering now might not be the people who are prospering later. It all depends on where you're at with Christ. He says in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And so he repeats this call. I think he says this three times in the first 9 verses. Do not fret. Don't freak out. Don't worry, right? Jesus says, do not worry about your life. Trust me. He says, you got to trust in the Lord. Look at what he says in verses 3-7. We need to allow the Lord to adjust our perspective, but we also need to remind ourselves of God's heart for us, right? Look at what these verses say in verses 3-7. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness, right? As we're waiting upon the Lord, we first don't want to fret. We don't want to lose sight of the big picture, but then this is really what to do, right? He says, okay, you're not just waiting around doing nothing. No, this is an act of waiting. You need to trust in the Lord. This is really the foundation for everything else that flows. The Lord is trustworthy. You must know this, right? As you wait on the Lord, that's an opportunity for you to trust him more. Notice, trust in the Lord and do good. Live your life from a place of trusting the Lord, not just in what you say or what you profess, but in how you live. And if we're honest, there's oftentimes a disconnect for us when it comes to what we say we believe and how we show that belief, the actions that flow from our lives. If we're honest, it seems like often the actions that flow from us are more marked by anxiety, fear, uncertainty than trust in the Lord. And what the scripture here is encouraging us to do is say, hey, flesh out your faith in the Lord. Don't let it just be a profession, but actually live it out. As James would say, faith without works is dead. Make sure that you have a living faith. Trust in the Lord in the times of waiting. View it as an opportunity to trust Him more. How do we grow in this trust, right? I think many of us would say, yeah, I want to trust the Lord more, but I just find it difficult. I find myself stressed, giving into anxiety. How do I get there? Listen to what Psalm 130 says, verse 5. The psalmist says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope. If we want to be people who trust in the Lord more, we need to get in His word more. And we need to allow that word to get into us, right? There's this connection here in this verse. He says, I'm waiting for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word, I hope. There's a direct connection between our trust in the Lord and our time in His word. Like, we need to be people who understand and know the word of God and allow that word to get into us. You're laying asleep at night and you can think of scripture. You're getting hit with thoughts throughout the day and you're able to pull out scripture from your mind because you've been meditating in the word of the Lord. This is something that's going to help guide you in times of waiting upon the Lord. Maybe the Lord might speak to you through a certain scripture. Maybe He uses someone to speak a scripture to you. God directs us by His word. He also leads us through prayer, right? Psalm 40, verse 1 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. As you're in a season of waiting, as you're trying to discern, what does God have for me in the next season of life? Maybe there's something that's particularly important to you. You're trying to discern, where should I go? Should I move to another place? Should I take another job? Should I date this person? What should I do with my retirement? You're trying to discern, what is it that I should be doing in this next season? Enter into a time of prayer. Learn to seek the Lord in His word. Come before the Lord, because the psalmist is clear here. He's like, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. Waiting on the Lord here is almost synonymous with praying to the Lord. As we're waiting, as we're in that place of prayer, what are we doing when we're praying? We're saying, God, I don't have it in and of myself. I don't have the answer in and of myself. I need your guidance. I need your direction. You think the Lord wants to answer that prayer? Absolutely. He wants to come through. When we humble ourselves, the Lord wants to come through for us and give us guidance. He will hear us. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 4. He says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. This is one of the most used verses probably ever, at least the second half of it. Right? You ever hear someone say that? The Lord wants to give you the desires of your heart. That's partially true, but it's conditioned, right? Verse 4, the first part of it, we can't leave it out. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. This isn't a message of like, hey, God just wants to give you everything you ever wanted. This isn't a health and wealth gospel. This is, no, as you find your happiness and joy in the Lord, what happens? Those selfish desires, those things that aren't of God, those begin to change. As you're finding your joy and happiness and delight in God, He begins to change the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart because those desires will start to reflect His heart. This is really big for us, you guys. I think there are times in life, and I know a lot of you have seen this, where maybe you didn't have a certain desire at one time. Maybe it was, you know, someone asked you to do a certain ministry. Or there's a certain job or a certain place you're going to move, and you're like, I'm not really that excited about it. But as you're praying about it, as you're seeking the Lord, He starts to move your heart that direction. That's an amazing way that the Lord leads us, as we're waiting upon Him, as we're finding our joy and satisfaction in Him, He begins to change the desires of our heart to match His. Look at what He says in verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. There are many directions, many things that we can do in life, and it can be overwhelming to try to navigate certain seasons of life. I love the simplicity of Scripture. He says here, hey, what do you need to do? Trust, delight, commit. Commit your way to the Lord. It's okay to have a plan. Just hold that plan with open hands. Commit it to God. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Listen to what Proverbs 16, verse 9 says. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's okay to have a plan. We just want to hold that plan loosely. Think about your life. Think about how it's worked out up to this point. There were certain things, there were certain decisions you made that you thought, man, this seems like the right way to go. This is a true desire of my heart. And maybe some of those things are true. But there are times where God has redirected you away from a certain direction and into something better. And I know for me, when I look back on some of these big decisions in life, I could see the Lord's faithful hand either leading me into what He has or redirecting me into a better path. And this is something that we can be confident of. If you guys, some of you guys are wanting to go to graduate school. Some of you are trying to discern, what is my career? How are we going to raise these kids? Like, Lord, I need You. I need Your help for this. What does this next season of life look like for me? And I think for all of us, we're kind of waiting to come out of this whole thing with COVID. I think knowing that the Lord has a plan for us, that He will not abandon us. He's going to direct our steps. I pray that we wouldn't waste this time of waiting, right? I think it's very easy for us to want to run ahead of the Lord or lag behind. We can kind of just abandon our faith in the Lord. Maybe we don't say that, but we're not really pressing in. We're pretty apathetic. And so functionally, it's almost like we're kind of throwing the towel and saying, okay, like, I don't know. I don't need to seek the Lord right now. I'm just going to like veg out, video games, Netflix. I'm just going to check out till this is all done. I think it's very easy to do, but I think God wants us to, there's a better way, right, that He has for us. So He says, hey, I want to direct your steps. Seek Me in this time. Redeem the time that I've given you. He says in verse 6, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Remember what the psalmist is dealing with here, right? The righteous look like they're suffering. It looks like they're not getting ahead in life. The wicked seem to be prospering. They have everything, it's coming easy to them. Right? God is saying here, hey, the Lord's going to bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. It might seem like nothing's happening in your life right now. It might seem like righteousness isn't worth it right now. But the Lord is like, hey, understand this, that living a righteous life is never in vain. God takes note of this. God will reward you one day. He will do things for you in this life, but ultimately in the next life. If nothing changes in your life, in your situation, in your circumstances in this life, you have the hope of eternity in heaven. Listen, there are brothers and sisters throughout the world who are going through things that we can't even possibly wrap our minds around. Right? So much of our faith is kind of wrapped up with some of this American dream. And so we kind of think that God owes us certain things when He's never really promised to give us those things. There are brothers and sisters that are suffering for their faith right now in prison. People are losing their lives for their faith in Christ. And the truth of the matter is, the promise of having a better job or finding a spouse or some of these things that we kind of elevate, like, that's just not a reality for some of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. where can you possibly put your hope in a situation like that? The Lord, right? There's a kingdom that's eternal. This life is very short. It's a drop in the ocean. And our brothers and sisters who are suffering right now, the more that they're suffering, the more that they can say, man, I'm waiting for the glory that's to come when Christ comes and renews all things, when he sets up his kingdom on this world, on this earth. I think sometimes as we lose certain things in life, God begins to move our hearts more towards his kingdom and say, hey, don't put your hope in these things. Righteousness, it's of utmost importance. Justice, right? This is what God says. I'm going to bring it forth. I see you. I will reward you. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. I love this word, rest in the Lord. The world is a crazy place right now. People are stressed, anxiety levels are high. We feel that collectively. Some of you are going through it right now. There's a call here. Hey, rest in the Lord. Don't try to figure it all out. Be still and know that he's God. Wait patiently for him, right? How do we learn how to do this? It's like it's by being put in these situations where we have no other choice but to wait. And God's like, hey, I'm cultivating in you this patience to wait upon me. You don't need to fret. Don't worry. Rest in me. And ultimately, we could do this because of Christ, right? Christ is the one who brings his people. Some of you who are with us on Wednesday, we're looking at Joshua. We just closed up the book. But Joshua is leading the people into the promised land. Almost a picture of what Jesus would do, right? Leading his people into the promised land. And Jesus has accomplished this rest for the people of God. If you're struggling with rest, read Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, it's one of those. Talking about the rest of God, what we have through the gospel, through believing in Christ. It says that there's a rest that's available for the people of God. And we need to enter that rest. He says, strive to enter it. It's kind of interesting. It's like, wait, work to enter the rest? Yes. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Last thing I want to see is this. As we're waiting, as we're in seasons of waiting, we can trust that God is working even as we're waiting. Okay, we see this in verse 9. And in Isaiah 64, verse 6, he says in verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. There's an inheritance coming, right? The circumstances will one day change. Yes, circumstances, they do sometimes change in this life. God does work, and we can all look back and say, wow, God has moved in my life, and he's been faithful, but ultimately, this will happen when we see him in heaven, right? There's coming a future inheritance for the people of God. Those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. God is working even as we're waiting. The world says if you want something, you need to work, work hard, get after it. Nothing's given to you. I understand there's a place for hard work, but as believers, we want to say, hey, I want to work faithfully as unto the Lord, but I also want to wait on the Lord. I want to do it from a place of waiting on the Lord. Jesus said this, right? I only do what I see the Father doing. He's not saying I'm doing more than the Father's doing. No, I'm only doing what the Father's doing. Whatever he's doing, I'm doing. I'm not going ahead of him. I'm not lagging behind him. This is how we want to view it as believers. Wait in faith. Wait with expectation that God will move in his timing. Listen to what Isaiah 64 verse 6 says. It says, for since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. God is different, right? The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are different. where these other gods were requiring service. It's like, hey, you need to work for me. If you want the blessings of the gods, you need to do work. God says here, no, I work for those who wait for me. This is mind-blowing. You guys have seen this in your life. Like, think about those times where you saw God work. You saw him open up doors. And you're like, man, I didn't do anything. And actually, I blew it. I thought I blew that opportunity, but God came through for me. I pray that we would allow ourselves to be reminded of how God's worked in the past, that it would fuel our trust in the present and our expectation for the future, that God will work in his timing. Don't operate from a place of fear or frenzy. Slow down. Get alone with the Lord. Get into the Word. Get some time in prayer. And trust that he's working it all out. We know that verse in Romans 8, right? God works all things together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. If you're overwhelmed right now, if you're heavy-hearted, focus on that. I want to love you, Lord. I want to remind myself of how much you love me. And I want to love you in return and know that you're going to work all these things out for my good. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would just wash over us with your peace, Lord. A lot of stress, a lot of pressure, a lot of anxiety right now, Lord. And I pray that you would just lift off those burdens, lift off the heavy things in our lives, God, and that you would fill us with hope, fill us with love for you. Help us to wait patiently for you. Those who are in this season of, it's like the unknown, like certain things are unknown, certain decisions that are coming up, how things are going to work out in certain areas of our lives. I pray that you would help us to trust you. We need you, God. Remind us of your heart for us. And I pray you'd speak to us. I pray you'd lead us. I pray this week that we would see you encourage us and just move in us, Lord. Give us that insight and that wisdom to know what steps to take, Father. Be exalted in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.